We had talked on the phone, and I said to him, song leader, that God would lead you in your Holy Spirit. You didn't realize this, but that's also one of our favorite songs. When we were married on July the 10th, back in 1965, Jim Blackwood out of Peterborough from the Assembly helped perform the ceremony. And his verse over us as he prayed for our future was from Isaiah 41. And we wear a necklace with a little eagle on it, but I always wear a pin with an eagle on it to remind me, and I have people ask me about it, so I quote for what it is, that we hover down low. And eagles are my thing. My office is covered with photographs of eagles from around the world that we've taken from Alaska and up the creek and that. Good day. Well, thank you for welcoming me. I like your warm welcome. We'll try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. One of our favorite verses and checkup programs where we retreat to, particularly when we're on the plane, is from Hebrews. And we like to read it a lot, Hebrews 11. It's just a reminder that as we head for the field, there are others who have gone before to set the pace and set the pathway for us to do ministry. But this morning, I want to add Hebrews 11 in your mind to 2 Corinthians, where we talked about through the mercy of God and through the ministry, we don't lose heart. After 45 years on the field and over 50 years together in the ministry, there are many times when it's been down. In Australia, we had just missed a Jeep ride working at a camp, and the people who were driving the Jeep, within 15 minutes of leaving us, the Jeep flipped. And they were killed. Two of them were killed. One died later, and the two boys that were in the Jeep at that time were left with skull damage or head damage. But we missed it, but we should have been on that Jeep. I was in Israel with a group of other Christians as part of a witness in the West Bank, and the Jeep that we were in, the three of us, had been in, our driver was shot by a sniper, and we went careening off to the side. We've been caught in tornadoes and hurricanes, and down in Jamaica and along the coast. We missed getting blown to pieces in Beirut, Lebanon. We were doing a children's program. There were 86 kids there. We were there for an hour and a half. We had just finished the ambulance that was going to take us away to get us far enough away from the area. We were further up the road when it hit, and I thought, first of all, it was an earthquake because the road just vibrated as we were going along. And the driver said, no, they're shelling the complex area back there. And the next morning he said, by the way, I think you should be informed, the building that we were in with all of those children, we weren't two blocks away when they blew it to smithereens. Talk about being discouraged. Talk about being afraid. How would you like to walk the fields in Jamaica and all of a sudden scream like mad because you've just been stabbed and bitten, and within 5 minutes to be rushed for an hour and a half to a hospital out in the boonies in Black River to be given needles and to have a quick slice on your legs because you've just been bitten by scorpions because you walked through a scorpion field. You sit there, you can be discouraged and have the heart attacks. Watching your daughter go over a waterfalls at Golden Ear Park, drop 68 feet over the top of the falls and have a heart attack as she goes over because she'd been caught in the whirlpool at the top and go down. Hard pressed on every side. Discouragement, but yet you knew God was through it all. God was there with you. His promise is very clear in Hebrews. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Faith is what makes it walk. Faith is what makes it happen. I was raised as a non-believer. My father came from Scotland. My mother came from Scotland. My older brothers and sisters all came from the Scotland area, the Gorbals area. And I was taught as a child to hate God. God was a murderer. And the day I was there and got beaten when my mother died, my father blamed me because I had been caught stealing in a store downtown. And I was the one that created my mother's death because God was punishing us because he's mean and cruel. God is hateful. And that's what I was taught from childhood. My father's father died in a train wreck when he was 7 years old. We were taught to hate. But I learned that I have a God of love, a God of compassion, a God who cares of us. Just think of that verse. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we may be broken, we may be crushed, but we're not destroyed. He rises us from the gutter to the uttermost. Christ said, I have come that you might have life more abundantly. We had a hard of hearing lady in Monmouth, Wales. And she came up afterwards and she said, I didn't quite hear you, Lattie. Did you say we have a wife everlasting? I said, no, we have a life everlasting. Oh, she said, that's good. Because I would have to think that my husband's going to live forever, and I wouldn't want that to happen. I said, no, ma'am, no. But we've been told God has created us so uniquely. We have a treasure. Now, I don't know about you, but one of our hobbies when we get to different places of the world, if we've got a break, and God bless some of our hosts and hostess who, when we're not in school or in churches, and are doing a program, they like to introduce us to their treasure centers. The UK is filled with them, but then so are other countries as well, in Bermuda and in Egypt and that. To see, and when we were in England on this last trip, a friend of ours took us to where they have found the, what's it called, the horn? Which is the name of it? Shropshire Horn. And we got to touch nearly $1 billion in gold. That's when they translate the hundreds of millions of dollars in pounds. They translated to that. And we got to touch some of this, and some of it in Egypt, and some in Canada here. I visited a home in West Van where I held some gold bars in this man's home. But the greatest of all is you. And you. And you. You have a treasure that is within you that was created by God for you. And he built a structure that is so precious that he used a knowledge word for all of us to know. Treasure. You, the temple. And living in you, we have this treasure in earthly vessels, surpassing everything. And I get shook up, and I think, from my childhood, I was raised in the gutter, literally in the gutter, in Sarnia, Ontario. We lived in a shack, and the other side was a city dump. And the bush was between it, and the shack we lived in, and the railroad tracks. And I was there, and I was told we would always be the gutter. Always. This was when they spoke of the Powers family in Sarnia. They were recorded in newspapers. They talked about the slums and the gutters and all of that. We would always be this way. You'll always be like that. In classrooms, the kids said, oh, I don't want to sit near him. He stinks and smells. And Teachers would say to us, you're always going to be like that. Prison guards said, you're always going to be like that. But what a joy it was for me to talk to Mr. Carl Smith in Ajax, one of the guards at a prison I had served time in. And he came up to me and he said, you're Laverne Aloysius Powers, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. He said, when did you become a believer? And I told him. Can you believe it? He said, that is awesome. When I saw you locked in the cells, I couldn't believe I'd ever see anybody from these cells who would be a proclaimer of Jesus Christ. I was in a church in Sarnia, Ontario, and we were standing talking with some people, and they come up and they said, your last name is Powers. And I said, yes, it is. And they said, I went to school at Hannah Memorial with several of the Powers family, but they all went to prison. Some of them are dead. Some committed suicide. Yeah, that's true. Which ones are you related to with? And I said, well, who did you know? And they said, well, there was Leroy and there was Jim. There was Laverne. Oh, I said, I know Laverne very well. Yeah, Laverne Aloysius Theodore Barclay Powers. Try that for life. Forget the boy named Sue. Yeah. And they said, oh, he was the worst. You know, he killed somebody when he was 11 years old. Yeah, I know. Where did you see him last? Oh, not too long ago. What happened to him? He died. Just like the rest of them. Yep. How did he die? At the foot of the cross. Like Pilgrim, at the foot of the cross. And that's where we're all going to die. At the foot of the cross. That's where the burdens are taken away. That's where the muck and the mire and the crud is taken away. And that earthly treasure, once we were crumbed out, and now we're the treasure chest. We're awesome. God so loved us that He gave. So we're to fix our eyes not on the things that we have seen around us and the treasure chest and the museums and the art galleries. But we're to fix our eyes on the unseen yet to happen because of the cross of Christ. We are broken, but we're not destroyed. We're wounded, but we're not wasted. God so loved us that He wants us to know that. He cares for us. Oh, I'll tell you. We were here in 1979, we'd come from ministries at camps during June and July. And the power of God just, we were coming back across the ferry, coming back into the port there. I don't know how whether you pronounce it Sowasson or Towasson. I was saying Towasson, but my wife corrects me when I talk about the quay and the quay and the harbor in New Westminster. So I have my problems. But we're coming back across, and I said, Marg, do you realize in the past 2 weeks, over 80 young people have come to know Christ? And a person, I mean, really prayed through, broken, and have been taking and reading the Word of God and studying it. What a harvest field! This whole area of British Columbia is white unto harvest. There's no children's workers here except a couple who are doing some programs for child evangelism. This is back in 79. And I said, this country here, this British Columbia that is so gorgeous and beautiful, is growing. I envision that it's going to triple in size. Just think of the potential. Instead of being in crowded Toronto, running from church to church, chapel to chapel, doing the program every 2 years at the same church, the same programming, the vacation Bible school. Look at the field that is here. We need to pray about this place because we're going to fly back to Toronto. And while we were still on the ferry, the prayer in my heart was, you need to come back. and need to come back and declare Jesus. One of my professors at Emmaus Bible College said to me one day, you know what? If you get a person's attention, get their eye attention, the ear will open up. The ear gate will open up. And when the ear gate opens up, the power of God hits it, and the heart gate will open up, and they will hear and listen. Get the attention of them. Get the attention. The word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And I sat there and we got back into Toronto and I said to Mark, you know the story about Abram where God said, pack up your tent, you're going to move? Yeah. We're going to move. Where? To British Columbia. When? As soon as we can sell the house. Why? Because God wants us to. How? We've got no money. Very little investment in the house, the car. If He's called me, He will provide and prepare a place for us. In 1980, we arrived. We led our first soul to the Lord at Golden. And he now lives in Kelowna as an associate pastor. He's real. But what he wants us to do is to be obedient. He's promised us much. When God promises, his promises are true. And when he calls you, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And you just may go next door. You may go to the park. You may go to Safeway. You may go to McDonald's, but look out. Don't do the one about the napkin tear where you tear it up and turn it into a cross and the word the hell, because McDonald's on North Road doesn't want me to do that anymore. What an opportunity to speak to students and high school students. You say, well, God can't use me. Well, one of our dearest friends, he's using her in her wheelchair and has been for years. He's using a blind man in a seniors complex to share and witness for Jesus. He's using one of the worst piano players I have ever heard in Kingston, Jamaica, on the corner of a street to sing hymns with a broken voice and ask people to pray beside that little broken down piano. Like my daughter said, I don't have to be a drug addict or an alcoholic or serve prison or be a sports celebrity. I just have to be willing to say yes, Lord. Yes. Has your yes been a maybe? Has your yes been, but first I must bury the dead? Or first I must get a university degree? What's it been? Is it yes, Lord, now? Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Spirit is making some yes, even for we senior citizens over 80. It's still yes. Where do you want me to go, dear Lord? And then you will instruct me, and you will open up a way for me to say, Jesus loves you. Thank you, Lord.